Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 109 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm super excited to share with you our new sponsor, The Smoke Sheet, which is a weekly newsletter that curates everything happening in the national barbecue scene. Every week, you'll get to read about new joints and closures across the country, event listings for the largest events in barbecue, podcasts and book recommendations, and recipe of the week that you can make at home. The Smoke Sheet was founded by Ryan Cooper, also known as The Barbecue Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, founder of NYC Barbecue. You may remember that I talked to Ryan from a previous episode where we talked about his many barbecue trips and travels, and it was really awesome. Ryan and Sean have been traveling for years, trying the best barbecue joints around the country and bring their expertise to highlight what matters most for barbecue fans and industry veterans alike. Sign up now at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com, and follow The Smoke Sheet on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. That's at The Smoke Sheet. The Smoke Sheet is barbecue news worth consuming. And as I had mentioned before, I've been on board since day one. I love all the barbecue news. I love all the information and all the podcasts and links to videos and things. I think what really, really gets it for me is the fact that they list all these events that are coming up, because I'm always the last to know about an event. I'm so busy and I don't pay much attention. And I've been trying to keep a master list. Well, the Smoke Sheet is there for you. So sign up is easy, and every week you get a heads up on tons of stuff. In this episode, I get a chance to talk to Ken Goodman, the photographer. This one is awesome. He's deep within the world of barbecue, and you're gonna love I know you're gonna love this one. What's really cool is that he like a lot of people, didn't get his start in photography, and we talk about that. We talk about his relationship with Andy Husbands and Chris Hart, and how they had a barbecue competition team, and then how that transitioned into doing a cookbook. That's where he got his chops in photography, and we talk about that world, that transition. And then we talk about cookbook photography. We talk about his relationship with different chefs. He actually now is the sole shooter for Jacques Pepin, and he travels with his family and does photographs for him, and he's done Diva Q and Tuffy Stone, and there's so much information about photography, about lighting, about what camera he uses, about taking too many shots, and what editing program he uses, and it's just such a wealth of information. He's super passionate about it, what he does, and about the world that he's working in, and it shows. I think you're really gonna love this one, and if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on any episode. And also, it'd be really cool if you commented below and let me know what you think of this episode, a highlight from it, something that you've learned, or anything else that you would like to see coming up. I really appreciate all the feedback, and thank you guys so much for listening. Good morning.
Good morning. So I am a formerly trained chef, went to Johnson & Wales University, and while attending culinary school, I met Andy Husbands. We were classmates, college mates, and we sort of hit it off. We worked at a really hot restaurant in Providence, Rhode Island at the time. And then after graduation, I went to Key West, and Andy went to Cambridge. Okay. He went to work for a guy named Chris Schlesinger at the East Coast Grill. Yes. And after about a year and a half or so of Andy like constantly calling me and telling me I had to leave Key West and come immediately to Cambridge to work with Chris Schlesinger, I finally did. And that's where the barbecue introduction began. I mean, we had Jake and Earl's Barbecue, which was a takeout shop next door to East Coast Grill, and it was like the hottest thing in town. And a passion for barbecue was created there under the guidance of Chris. And Andy and I, you know, we reconnected. He went away and like sort of toured the country to, you know, get some chops to open up his own place. And then we reconvened in the barbecue world as a barbecue team.
Is it IQ?
It was PBR Social Club. We had several things over the years, but it was started by Chris and Chris Hart and Andy Husbands were the founders of, you know, hey, let's have a team. And sort of it went back and forth for a long time in terms of who was involved in the team, but I was involved fairly early on. And we just started competing and having a blast and, you know, getting some recognition. I mean, we started to win competitions that were sort of outside the area of Boston and New England.
Yeah.
You know, we won the Jack, obviously, in 2009 was a huge year.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I was going to talk about that. That's amazing.
I wasn't there that year, which haunts me to this day. I was vacation. I was actually in Barcelona when I got a phone. My phone rang at like 4 o'clock in the morning at some crazy time with Chris literally crying on the phone, telling me he won the jack. And then I'm crying in the bathroom, my hotel.
I was there.
I was like devastated. The one time I didn't go to Jack in 10 years and we win. So you know, I will never live that down. But what happened as a result of that, see, I was transitioning from being a chef to a photographer. I started to get sort of burnt out with the culinary scene. I didn't want to own a restaurant and I kind of was like out of things I could do and without being my own boss. And I wanted the more freedom. And so I took a year off and I was like sort of finding myself and then discovered photography almost by accident. Right at the same time where we were getting a book deal on the heels of winning Jack from a Boston-based publisher. So, hey, you know, it's a great story. You guys won the Jack. You're a New England-based team. Let's do a cookbook. And somehow we convinced the publisher, Andy and Chris especially, that I would need to photograph the book if it was going to happen.
That's crazy.
Now I'm a brand new photographer. I have no idea what I'm doing still. And yet, you know, I'm tapped to do this book. And it was a trial by fire kind of situation for me. But it created more of this confidence that, you know, this is good. This is my new career. Like, I'm not going to, you know, keep sort of being wishy-washy about it. I'm a photographer now.
But going into that, that's interesting because going into that, so what did you do? What did you do to prepare yourself mentally, or what did you take additional classes, or did you
never took a class? I was going on YouTube like every night and watching tutorials for hours and hours. It was I went to night school through YouTube. And there's a ton of content on YouTube, so tutorials and everything else. And so I would just pick a topic and, you know, watch hours and hours of that topic based, you know, all sort of based on digital photography.
That's great advice.
Learning and learning. I didn't have any cameras. I had to rent cameras. My wife had a little tiny, like very, you know, bottom of the rung DSLR camera, Nikon D40 that I used until I was like, you know, I need to rent cameras for events or for the book until I could afford to buy my own cameras. Or I finally decided in September of 2010 that I would register as a business and then I can get a business loan and buy some cameras.
So that's interesting because people probably – there's probably people watching this that will wonder, I'm really into photography. What do I do? And it's not an easy route, but it's something.
I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be a photographer ever until it just sort of – started to happen. I was like, you know, taking some photos, liking it, putting on Facebook, getting good feedback, and ignoring it at first because I was putting photos on Facebook to try and drum up like a side business of like catering, like private events. And so I was photographing, you know, dinner parties at my house to see if it was like, you know, something I could drum up into a business. And all these people were commenting on the photos, not so much hiring me for private chef events. They were coming on the photos. And so it slowly started to evolve in this thing that finally I decided that I was going to take a leap of faith and start a legit sort of on the books tax, you know, company. And then that was my way in to go to the bank and get a loan to actually buy some equipment.
What was that book that you guys did? So people, if people want to see it.
Wicked Good Barbecue.
Wicked Good. Oh, those photos are great.
Barbecue. Yeah.
They're probably in your mind. You're probably like, those are not my favorite photos. But
you know, I look back at that book and I go, God, I wish I could photograph that book again. I'm dying to reshoot that book. There's a lot of good photos in the book, and it's a great. It's so well written.
Yeah, maybe it's just the book itself is amazing with the photos. It's all like a big yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't cringe at those photos, but I would love to shoot that book again with the knowledge I have now. I mean, I've done 34 books now, so it's like, you know, looking back at those first 10 or 12 books, I'm like, wow, I could really love to do those over again. But I'm proud of it still. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that it was growing for all of us. We all had to learn how to do it. Now, you know, I'm about to do another book with Andy, our fifth or sixth book together. It's like, you know, you hardly talk about it. You know, it's like you just get it done. I mean, Pitmaster came out this year, Chris and Andy's latest book, Pitmaster. And, we, you know, it gets easier now. You know, we know the business better. We're all smarter. We're all better at it. And so each book gets a little better and better.
And that cover is just amazing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that cover happened. You know, that was one of those things where that was, you know, Chris had made that beef rib look great. We were in his house. That was taken in the vestibule of his front door.
Oh, wow.
it was the only, it was like kind of later in the day, the only light that was available, because it was all natural light, the only light was that was available was right at his front door. I stood up on a little ladder, and there was like a cast iron skillet underneath of it, and he just held it out with his black glove, and we took the shot, and it became the cover.
That's gorgeous. That's a great book, but it also, that cover is sick. Like, you notice that on the shelves if you're walking around.
It does pop, you know, yeah. For sure. It's one of those, you know, amazing things that happens in the, you know, heat of the moment, and you don't know what you're going to get till you get it. And then as soon as I saw it, I knew it was going to be something special and probably a cover shot. Some people thought it was too phallicy and it might not work on cover, but I was like, it's clearly a rib.
It's clearly a rib. Yes. That's so funny. People are funny. So when did you, so from that first book, from Wicked Good Barbecue to how did you make the transition to?
What happened was, luckily for me, the publisher that published Wicked Good Barbecue liked what we did, liked the content, and I liked the relationship that I had with several of the people that, you know, I was interacting with through the whole process. And they were patient with me, and they gave me lots of good advice. And so Andy and Chris were going to do another book, Wicked Good Burgers, and the sort of Wicked Good theme was starting to happen a little bit. And then other books were coming up that this publisher had, talked to me about maybe being interested in photographing. And then one of the key people, that first publisher, moved on to create his own publishing company called Page Street Publishing. And his name is Will Keister. And Will and I got along really well. And it's like, I like this guy, Will, and I want to follow him where he's going. And so we started doing books slowly, Page Street, and each one, you know, just another success story. And I don't know.
What was the next barbecue book you did?
Diva Q was among one of the earlier ones.
Diva Q?
Diva Q's book. That wasn't with Page Street. That was with Random House, but that was an early on barbecue book. I did a few books with Bill Gillespie. And, you know, he's another one of those great barbecue competitors, New England-based competitors. He's won the Jack as well.
Yeah.
He's still out there kicking ass.
Yeah.
With Smoking Hogs, and you know, we've done three books now, and his books are just absolutely fantastic.
What's the process if people, because a lot of people don't know about that world, what's the process in making a book? Do you go to like a studio, or are you mostly going on site with them?
Well, there's
or?
Many ways to do it. If you ask 10 photographers, you get 10 different answers.
Okay.
From me. No, I didn't have the technical prowess coming into it where I would, you know, I could understand lighting scenarios. So I was trying with false light because it was like, seemed like it'd be the easiest thing. It was like a, you know, constant light source that never changed. And then, but I was also taking photographs outside of natural light. And I just realized that, you know, for me and my taste, I was digging the photos in natural light much better than the ones in studio light. And I also liked the fact that I was going on location where the author was comfortable.
That's helpful.
A studio and making this sort of static environment that no one was familiar with, I was having much better success going to Chris's backyard, you know, and dealing with natural light. It took a while for me to learn, but it takes longer. Sort of, it's more of a hassle. I got to move around a lot, you know, depending on where the light source is best. And there was a shot I did in Chris Hart's bedroom on the dresser in his bedroom while I'm standing on his bed, because the light coming in that window at that part of the day that's where the light was.
Yeah.
And it's a great photograph. I'm really proud of it. Whenever I see that photograph in the book, I laugh knowing that I was standing on his pillows to get that shot.
That's amazing. And it's so funny that these are two little scoops that I...
Right. So I do favor location. I like to go to where the author is because he or she is familiar with that space. It tends to go a lot faster that way. I shoot fast. I also do a lot of my own styling, you know, for coming from a chef background. You know, I'm
fairly versed
in plating food and, you know, I can jump in I got mad knife skills and I can, you know, get us back on track if need be.
You have the sensibility. Yeah.
Yeah. So I tend to not work with food styles. I have, and I do enjoy it when it happens, but I think the majority of my books have been just me, the author and one or two helpers, and we can do a book in, you know, 3 to 5 days versus it would take some people 10 to 14 business, you know, full shoot days with a group of 12 people on set.
I think it's interesting too, because you seem to photograph people as well as food. It's just, and a lot of people are just like strictly food photographers or portrait or.
Initially, I was saying yes to everything because I just wanted to, you know, get experience. So I was shooting for anybody and anything that came my way. And then after a few years of doing that, I realized that I was only really happy when I was photographing food and music. So I decided that if I narrow my focus and just, you know, focus on those two disciplines primarily, that I would do things that, you know, gave me lots of joy.
Yeah.
And I would feel better doing. You know, every time, you know, I leave my house and my family to go and work, I want to be psyched about it. I'm, you know, and I wasn't being psyched going to shoot a wedding. It was like, I hated it. But every time I shot a food event or I'm around food people or music people, I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I'm away and I'm not at home with my family, I'm picking assignments that, you know, excite me.
That's smart, and that's great advice for almost anything. But it's hard to get up in the morning, or like you said, leave something special like your family, if it's just drudgery.
I'm my own boss. I realize that, you know, if I narrow my focus, I can, you know, probably put my energy and time into just those disciplines, and, you know, pick and choose my battles. And so now, you know, everything I do, I try and have it linked to chefs and musicians, food and music. I do a few things that are outside of that scope, but the majority of what I do is those two lanes.
I want to talk about who you photograph within, specifically within the barbecue world. But is there anybody that you get starstruck? Has there been anybody that you photographed that, or that someone that you're so, like, you know, not enamored with, but just. Something that, yeah. like holy hell, I can't believe I'm taking a picture of this person.
Sometimes, and this happens still today, I'll be in a situation, I'll look around and go, how the hell did I get here? You know, especially earlier on when I was in rooms as a photographer that I had no right to be in. I was not at all skilled enough to have that assignment, but I just, you know, it worked out that way. Mara Vitale was a guy I worked with for many, many years, very closely with his foundation. And working with Mario was one of those situations where, you know, all his friends are famous. So I'm in a room with all these famous people. And I go, geez, like, you know, there's, you know, it's Bill Clinton and The Edge and Michael Stipe and Jimmy Fallon all in one room. And I go, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah, if you go through your feed, like, yeah, that's true. But you belong just as much as anybody else. Yeah.
Keep my cool and doing the best I can do and not freaking out. It's very rare that I ask to take a photo with the talent that I'm with.
Yeah.
As I'm just not my style.
Yeah.
I work now with Joppa Penn. I'm going actually to Boston later today when we're done this call, actually, to go to Boston. And working with Jacques.
Gosh, what an icon.
You know, I mean, I've loved him since I can remember food and television food. I mean, it's just, you know,
he's the soul of food.
Almost. Yeah. So, you know, getting to know him and his family, just getting to meet him once would be an amazing thing. So the fact that I work with him and his family and I'm their photographer and I can travel with them, that's a really special thing for me. And that's not ever going to be lost on me, the fact that I've gotten to be personally connected with people like Jacques Pepin.
That's so neat right there.
Same thing with Mike Mills. You know, I'd see Mike Mills at a barbecue competition, you know, 15 years ago and shit my pants. I'm like, oh my God, Mike Mills is here. Like,
oh, he's a god.
The fact that, you know, I'm so close with him and Amy now, and I got the, you know, the chances to photograph Praise the Lard, which was an amazing thing for me. Like, you know, given my reverence for that family, for Mike and Amy, and having the opportunity to work with them. I mean, I got my whole hog on.
I was gonna say you're wearing that, and then
yeah. I mean, I'm part of the choir, you know, they're my people. And to photograph Praise the Lord was just a gigantic privilege that I did not take lightly at all. Oh, so people like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
let's switch transition. You're doing their Whole Hog Extravaganza. You're one of the speakers, right?
Well, I've been photographing it for the last 6-7 years. Okay. I think I've done all but the first one I photographed.
Oh, wow.
And then about 4 years ago, Amy asked me if I could also do something where I can talk about photography and namely smartphone photography and how to use it for social media.
For businesses, so, yeah.
That's kind of grown over the years, and I've given this class now in other areas, not just with Whole Hog, and it's sort of the content changes because smartphone technology changes, the way we use social media has changed.
For sure.
So, but I still give that class every year, just basics of how to hold a phone, how to use your phone properly,
a little bit of lighting probably, and yeah.
Yeah, all the lighting especially.
Lighting's so huge, yeah.
Yeah, and me being a natural light photographer, I stress that a lot. Like, half the photograph is just finding the best light, and more than half. And then you're in good shape after that.
So you've recently done Tuffy's book, right? Tuffy Stone?
I did Cool Smoke, and, Tuffy's another great example. I mean, when I first met Tuffy, I was floored by it. Like, I knew him from afar, and I knew he was a nice guy, but at competitions, you want to bother people, and you have very small windows to interact with people. And, when I know if someone comes in our tent, in our area during competition, it takes something out of what you're trying to do, or you're trying to rest, or you're trying to focus on turn-ins, whatever it is. So I was always sort of, I kept my distance to a lot of those people. But finally with Tuffy, I got to know him through, we were at some kind of competition, Chris and I, and Tuffy was there, and we were talking cameras. He had Leica cameras, and we're like, oh, we have something in common besides barbecue. We're talking about cameras now. And I took a photograph of him at that competition, and he used that photo for his profile picture for years. And I was like, oh my God, Tuffy's using my photo for his profile picture. And then, we got closer and closer as time went on. And when he asked me to do his book, it was one of those moments of like just disbelief. Like I was so thrilled to do it, and it's one of my favorite books.
It's such a great book, and
I'm so happy to be a part of that. And his whole team that was involved in that book, start to finish, was fantastic. So I hope we get to do another one.
Oh, that's really cool. And these stories are nice because it just kind of shows the passion behind the book, that it's like there's, and then people and people too will see the book and will know that he put a lot of work into it, but also
so much work. He was so, he was so dialed into the process. He hired an amazing food stylist, Libby Summers, and we went to Richmond where he lives. Going there, to where Tuffy lives and breathes made it more comfortable for him. It was better. He knew the spots to go to for all those lifestyle images, and he can go home each night to his family, and that means a lot for an author, especially a first-time author, to have some sort of comfortability in that space. It's always a sort of daunting thing, and I try and talk people off the ledge and look, it's gonna be a lot of fun, don't worry about it, it's gonna be great. But it's nerve-wracking, it's not a normal thing. It's a lot of work in a very small period of time, a lot of pressure. And so Tuffy handled all that in stride and was so prepared. And he's just like that in life. I mean, he's a spreadsheet kind of guy. He's geeky
about
it. That's
true, it is. He is business-minded.
Yeah, very business-minded. So I wasn't surprised that it went so smoothly. But even then, he was nervous as hell for, going into it. Like everybody is, mm-hmm. Even me.
And there's a lot of pressure putting out a new book.
Absolutely, man. It's a big stamp, and it's a part of your calling card, and you want to get it right. You want to, do the best book you can do. And for me, I always want to make sure that I'm repping the author more than the publisher, more than myself. I try and get his or her vision through on the book. I fight for them, and I want to make sure that they're happy first before anybody else is happy.
Are there any other notable barbecue books that you'd like to talk about? We don't have a lot of time, but because you can go through, we could talk for 4 hours on that.
It's always, I'm always most excited about the next book I'm going to do. And the next book I'm going to do for in terms of barbecue is with Andy Husbands next year. And it's going to be a phenomenal book. He's my very, very good friend, my best friend. And we get to work together every now and then. And it's just fantastic. We go back to us young line cooks at East Coast Grill and even earlier than that. To now we're pretty established people and doing the right thing. We've got families and wives and kids and together still. So I'm always looking forward to the next book that I'm about to do.
And if people don't know, it's The Smoke Shop is his. That's he has
Smoke Shop
multiple
is his,
locations.
It's his empire. It's his growing empire. I can't talk a lot about the book itself, but I can let the cat out of the bag in certain respects and say that we'll be shooting a book next year.
How was your relationship with other photographers, with Robert Jacob Lerma, Wyatt McSpadden?
Robert and I finally met at Memes in May, 4 years ago or so. I was just at his house a couple weeks ago. I was in Austin for an assignment, and I said, let's meet up and let's, you know, get a drink and have dinner or something. And he gives me an address to meet him at 6 o'clock. I'm like, okay, well, what's the name of the place? He goes, it's my house. Oh my God, man.
That's so cool.
I get there, you know, food and drinks waiting for me. And, you know, he's one of those guys. I think Robert is probably the best photographer in the country in terms of barbecue, especially. And I'm trying to get him to sort of take that leap and, you know, dive into it full time. But he's got a great job and, yeah, you know, great family life. And he does barbecue, he does photography when he wants to do it. And I love him for that, but I wish he would, you know, I want to do a book with Robert someday.
I know.
With Dan Krieger and Evan Sung and Melody Dine. There's a lot of people in my world of photography, other photographers that I'm proud to know and proud to call friends. And that whether they know it or not, have helped me along the way in some way, shape, or form.
What are you shooting with right now?
I shoot with Nikon. I shoot with a D5. It's kind of overkill for food, but, you know, when I shoot concerts, I need that for, you know, because it's very low light environment. So that technology is great to have when I need it for to bump up my ISO and things like that. So I'm a Nikon shooter too, because my wife had a Nikon when I started doing photography. I think it doesn't matter what kind of camera you have. Know the camera, know what it can do, know its limitations, know how to push the boundaries of it, have some good glass, and, you know, make the best out of your equipment.
Okay, forgive me. What is have some good glass? Lens?
Lens. Sorry. That's photo photography terminology.
No, it's good for people to know, so that way they don't sound like an idiot like I do.
Invest in some good lenses. But really, at the end of the day, man, if you have a good eye and you know what your camera can do, anybody can do this, man.
What would be like a good starting lens for someone?
Well, it depends on the camera. True. You know, the camera that I got initially, my wife had, it came with a, you know, just a very, you know, low end lens, but I couldn't put big lenses on that camera because it was not the right format for it. So I didn't know until I went to a larger cameras that, you know, certain lenses can only fit certain bodies, and you know, the fancier the camera, the fancier lenses that can go on it.
I see.
But I took some great photographs with that kit lens that my wife had on that small little camera. Some of my earliest pictures I love and were shot on that, you know, kit lens, you know, the lens that comes with the camera in the box. And that little tiny DSLR camera that she had. So I learned how to use that to my advantage, you know, and it had its limitations, but I knew what they were.
So would you recommend getting into photography for somebody that, or more so just as like a passion project?
Well, for me, how it worked for me is like, you know, I didn't consider it a career. I picked it up as a little bit of a hobby, I guess. And as I was doing it, I discovered that I liked it. I didn't realize I was going to like it at first. And look, if someone said, here's a camera, go shoot NASCAR. Well, I don't like, you know, that might not have been my thing. I don't like NASCAR. And I might have been really turned off by it. But the first thing I did with my camera was go to the James Beard house and photograph the Voltaggio brothers in their very first James Beard dinner.
How cool is that?
That was one of my first things I ever did. I called James Beard, you know, asked him if I can do it. I reached out to Voltaggio Brothers management. They all said yes. I said, I'll do it for free. And so out of the gate, I was like, wow, this is awesome. You know, hanging out with Michael and Brian, I just did Top Chef. And now I'm in James Beard Foundation house with them, shooting their dinner with my little cheesy camera. That's what got the bug going for me.
Yeah, you know? That's so cool. How do you handle, I've always wondered this with the professional photographers, taking thousands of photos, how do you handle like sifting through to, like, is it just...
I've gotten better at workflow. I use Lightroom, and so I've gotten better at, you know, how I, you know, take on the images and process them. It still takes hours and hours to do. You know, and that's why, you know, I give a rate now. I should be horrible at billing, you know, billing for myself. You know, be like, you know, $100, you know, and it's like, wait a minute, I have to bill for not only the time that I'm there physically, but it's going to take me in post, the hours it's going to take me to go through and sift through all these images and master them and send them back to you and hold those files for like forever as raw files in my system.
And they're big files.
The you know, raw files are huge. My giant camera, the raw files are gigantic. So I pay a lot of money for storage and external hard drives and cloud storage and all this stuff. But the workflow got, you know, better for me as years went on. At first, it was horrible for me. And I was taking a lot more pictures. Spray and pray is what they call it. So I would go and I would take 3,000 images in hopes to get 300 good ones.
Spray now and play. That's what I do, I think.
I don't take as many pictures. I don't have to. So, you know, I come back from an event and I only have, you know, 800 pictures, and I'm going to get 500 great ones out of that if I want to.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense, because I've always wondered.
You better get at the fewer to pictures you take, because you're not worried about not getting it the first few times. Like, I know when I'm taking the photo, I'm locked in with my settings, I'm exposed properly, you know, so I take less photos now.
You have more confidence in what you're like, in how you're shooting.
It's way more. I'm very confident now. You're always nervous about going into something. I'm nervous about my gig tomorrow night with Jacques. But I'm also, when it gets going, I'll be confident once I get rolling that I'm doing the right thing.
Do you just have one camera, or do you like bring three or four?
I use two cameras for events, because I have different lenses, focal lengths that I need to capture. So tomorrow night, you know, at any event I do with unnatural light, I'll have one camera with a flash and the other camera with you know, a lens that can do really well in low light, so that I cannot have a flash with all my photos.
I see. Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, because this is a
wealth
of knowledge, and I know that people are into photography, and a lot of people want to, at least just for their own, like, you know, lifestyle stuff. But thank you for what you
We're
do.
We're all photographers. We all got a phone in our pocket, and we take pictures all the time. So.
I know. I'm actually amazed. I got the new iPhone X, not the top of line, but the pictures are crazy. Like, it's really
sicker and sicker.
It's probably, yeah. But it's also something like people like say, like, it's going to get rid of photographers. It never will.
No. Photographers aren't going anywhere, and neither are cookbooks. Cookbooks are that's a business that's never going to die out. People like the tangible nature of cookbooks. And photographers, we're doing fine.
Nice. I'm not worried about it. And work on that book with Robert Jacob Lerma. You have to do that. That's
Robert and I, you know, we're good friends, and I want him to do some more stuff. So
I feel honored to call him a friend too. He's such an
I love him.
Great guy. Yeah.
You got a Truth Barbecue hat on. I met those guys through Robert. So you know, Leonard is. Have through Robert, so there you go.
That's another reason why I'm doing this, because I kind of want to document the barbecue world and food world as it is. But it's also people like you, people like Leonard and Robert. They're great humans. That's great people to
meet. A lot of great people in this industry, man. No doubt about it.
Well, excellent. Let me know next time you're in Los Angeles. I'd like to get a
job. All right, man. Got it.
All right, cool. Have a good one.